To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Today's text is found in the 14th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, beginning with verse 7, as follows. So Jesus told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So far the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who humbled himself for us and is now exalted at the right hand of God, dear fellow redeemed. Winston Churchill was once asked, doesn't it thrill you to know that whenever you give a speech, the halls of Parliament are filled to overflowing with people? It's quite flattering, replied Churchill. But whenever I feel that way, I always remember that if instead of making a political speech, I were being hanged, the crowd would be twice as big. Churchill may have been a political giant, but he also had a proper sense of humility. True humility, very rare quality. The poet T.S. Eliot once said, humility is the most difficult of all virtues to achieve. Nothing dies harder than the desire to think well of oneself. That is a desire that must die in us Christians, however. If we wish to be followers of our Master Jesus, we must kill it, hard as that may be to do. Jesus was the master of heaven and earth, but for our sakes, he also became a master of humility. If we want to learn the lesson of true humility, we must learn it from our Master Jesus. And our text for today is a good place to start. Our theme for this morning is brief. It's hard to be humble. But Jesus was humble for our sakes. Let us be humble for his. In order to understand the words of Jesus in our text, we really have to place ourselves into the room where he was when he said them. Jesus had been invited to a dinner one evening that was being given in the home of one of the Pharisees. And, you know, when we're invited to someone's house for dinner, it doesn't generally matter a whole lot where we sit down to eat. Sometimes, I guess, the host sits at the head of the table. Sometimes the hostess will want to sit where she can easily reach the kitchen. But other than that, where you sit down isn't a very big deal for us. It was for the people in ancient Israel. Back at the time of Jesus, you could tell who were the most important dinner guests by how close they sat to the host at the head of the table. The most honored guests would sit at his right and his left hand, and so down the table, the less important guests near the middle, and at the foot of the table, the humblest people of society would sit, those who were supposed to feel privileged that they were invited at all. But it's hard to be humble. Jesus looked around him that evening, and he took note of how the people, as they arrived, would each scramble to find one of the places of higher honor near the head of the table. So he told the people there a parable. The American translation of the Bible has a pretty good rendering of this parable. Jesus said, when anyone invites you to a feast, don't take the place of honor. He may have invited somebody more important than you. And he who invited you and him will come and tell you, give this man your place, and then you'll feel ashamed when you have to take the lowest place. No, when you're invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he'll tell you, friend, move up higher. Then all your fellow guests will see how you're honored. If you honor yourself, you'll be humbled, but if you humble yourself, you'll be honored. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, that sounds like good practical advice. After all, humility is a good thing, and nobody wants to be shamed in public. But is that really all this passage is about, a tip about good table manners? Clearly not. There's more going on here. In fact, Luke tells us that the words of Jesus are a parable. And you know what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So what's the heavenly meaning that our Lord Jesus is trying to get across to us with this parable? It's a lesson about true humility. It's the lesson, the difficult lesson, that we should be humble, not proud, with God and with our fellow man. But it's hard to be humble. As we all know, actions speak much louder than words, and nobody likes a hypocrite who says, "Do as I say, not as I do." Jesus, however, was not that kind of teacher. Jesus himself was a master of humility. His whole life was a lesson in humility. In fact, no one knew better than our Savior what it meant to humble himself. If you think it's hard to be humble, imagine your Lord Jesus. In our Bible class this morning, we'll be talking about the section of the letter of Philippians where Paul says, "Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." To him, it wasn't robbery to claim to be God. Many other people throughout history, very proud men like Caesar Augustus, Alexander the Great, claimed to be God. But Jesus really was God. It wasn't robbery. He wasn't taking something that didn't belong to him when he claimed to be equal with God the Father Almighty, the creator of the universe. If anyone deserved to be proud, to take the highest seat in life, certainly was our Lord Jesus. But when he came down to earth, Jesus took not the highest seat, but the lowest. Paul goes on, "He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Was being humble easy for our Savior? Sometimes I wonder whether it weren't the very hardest thing about the sufferings that he endured for our sakes. Imagine, for Almighty God to stand there and take it while his enemies insulted him and spit upon him and schemed against him and plotted his murder. And finally, to undergo the ultimate humiliation, death by crucifixion. You know, not every condemned criminal in those days was crucified. A more common form of execution was beheading. Crucifixion was reserved for the very lowest of criminals, the filthy traitors and mass murderers. Jesus humbled himself even to this terrible end. And for what? For the simple joy of being able to deliver you from death and hell. Paul says, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He humbly carried out his love for you to the final drop of his blood, to the last rending cry of agony, so that he might carry you and deliver you from the very gates of hell to the very gates of heaven." Yes, Jesus was humble for our sake. Let us be humble for his. Today, our Savior is urging us to choose for ourselves the lowest seat, to live lives of true humility before God and our fellow man. Well, you'd think the first part of that would be easy anyway, to be humble before God. All we have to do is be realistic. After all, if you read the Bible at all, you're going to run into God's law, which tells us very graphically what sort of sinners and enemies of God you and I were by nature. For instance, in the Psalms we read, "God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none who does good, no, not one." But it's hard to be humble. And sometimes even we Christians are tempted to seek out for ourselves the places of highest honor. Dr. Harry Ironside was a very famous evangelist in the early part of the 1900s, an evangelist in the city of Chicago. But he had one famous failing. He was a proud man. One of his friends recommended a remedy for this, recommended that he march through the streets of Chicago wearing a sandwich board upon which were printed a number of Bible passages, and that he should shout those passages at the top of his voice. Well, Dr. Ironside accepted the challenge, carried out the assignment with gusto. But when he returned to his study and removed the sandwich board, he was overheard to remark, "I'll bet there's not another man in town that would do that." Pride is a pitfall for all Christians. We tend to be like the proud Pharisee standing in the front of the temple and saying, "Lord, I thank you that I am not as other men are." But if you recall, it was the other fellow whom Jesus praised, the despised tax collector who was standing in a dark corner in the back of the temple, the wretched sinner who refused to even lift his eyes to heaven, but merely beat himself on the chest in repentance and said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Writer Flannery O'Connor once said, "To know oneself is above all to know what one lacks. The first product of self-knowledge is humility." Well, it wasn't hard for that tax collector to be humble because he knew himself and he knew what he lacked. He lacked righteousness. He knew his sin and he knew God knew it. He knew that the only option he had was to throw himself on the mercy of the Lord, and so that's what he did. May God give to us the same self-knowledge and repentant humility that humble tax collector had. Face your sins and repent of them. You can be certain that your heavenly Father will not be stingy in offering you his pardon, but will forgive those sins, yes, every one, for the sake of the precious blood Jesus shed for you on Calvary. When you confess your sins, you will not meet a sharp punishment. You will not see an angry scowl or hear a thundering condemnation of God. Instead, you will hear the joyful, welcoming voice of your heavenly Father, just as the returning prodigal heard the voice of his father say, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Now, no child on earth could have transgressed against his father's commandment worse than that son did. And yet Scripture says, where sin abounded, there God's grace much more abounds. Dear Christian, you've heard the gospel preached to you here today. You have heard me speaking in the stead of Christ, pronouncing his absolute forgiveness upon you, his absolution of all your guilt. If you could hear the voice of Jesus speaking from heaven as you leave church this morning, you would hear him say, "This person went down to his house justified." Perhaps the hardest aspect of the humility God expects from us is to be humble toward our neighbor. Being humble toward God, maybe, but toward that fellow who lives next door, that's hard. "I may not be the best," we say to ourselves in mock humility, "but compared to this other person, I'm far more fill-in-the-blank, righteous, upstanding, honest, virtuous." Even among our fellow Christians, we're always comparing ourselves to one another, consciously or unconsciously, selecting for ourselves the places of highest honor. In words of the Apostle James, "Brethren, these things ought not so to be." Peter urges all of us, young and old, to ponder our humble Savior and imitate him in serving one another in love and humility. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Jesus submitted himself to no end of suffering for our sakes. Let us be humble for his. Let us follow his instruction and submit ourselves in humility and love to our fellow Christians, preferring them over ourselves. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, this is something we can do out of faith and love toward our Savior. In the early 1900s, a native Indian Sikh named Sandhu Sudar Singh became one of the most famous Christian missionaries of all time in that country. So famous, in fact, that later in his career, when he embarked on a worldwide tour, he was greeted at every stop by large crowds and loud adulations. He was later asked whether all that fame and praise didn't work against his Christian confession. And he had a pretty good answer for that. He compared it to Palm Sunday. He said, "When the donkey went into Jerusalem, they spread garments and palm branches on the ground before him. But the donkey was not proud. He knew it was not done to honor him, but to honor Jesus who was sitting on his back. I know that this praise is not for me, but for my Lord Jesus, who does all the work and deserves all the honor." Let that be the attitude of every disciple of Jesus, including every one of us here today. It's hard to be humble. Hard, but not impossible. Let us learn humility from the master of humility. Jesus was humble for our sakes. Let us be humble for his. Amen.